Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and the whiskey.
We have a fight.
With Mike Schopen, the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and
a Sports Radio 550.
Paul Hamilton's appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. I mean, you hear all about what Paul is about from these clips. I mean, he's in a brawl. I don't know. I've known Paul a long time. It's never really quite made sense to me, but, you know, we all lose our temper from time to time, and that apparently happened to Paul in that long-ago hockey game at Iowa State. So, Paul, first day of camp, and Dahlin leaves early. I feel like that's probably where we should start.
Yeah, Luukkonen and Levi were the first on the ice, but Dahlin was the first skater on the ice, which didn't surprise me in the least. Didn't last long. I didn't see it happen because I was on the air with Joe DiBiase. But he didn't last long. I know I was writing down lines. I'm thinking, Power's out there by himself. Am I missing Rasmus here? And I didn't see him, and he had left. So it's Lindy said he doesn't think it's anything serious. He went to make a pass, and he goes, quote, something happened. That's all he would say. He called it a mid-injury. I know this will make you crazy.
Mid-body?
Not even upper body or lower body. It's mid-body injury. But we couldn't give anything more than that. So that's all we got. And he was getting it checked out. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, not great. I mean, what would be the significance to you if Dahlin, you know, he's a great player who's been in the league a long time, were to miss, you know, whatever it is, like before the time before the opener, like how far would that, just to put something out there, not knowing what we're looking at here, but how far would that set him back?
Well, it would drive him insane because he's the guy who you want intensity in practice. There's your man. And he gets on people in practice. And the thing about him is if he doesn't see somebody doing a drill right, he gets in their face and then he goes and does the drill himself right in front of them. You know, that's kind of the way he operates. It's like, all right, if you can't do it, I'll show you, I'll do it type of a thing. And I'm sure he's in great shape. He's a guy that keeps himself in good condition and stuff. But, you know, and if it is something that would miss time, then you're down to either Bryson or Dennis Gilbert would be the next guys up. One of the two of them would wind up in the lineup.
So talking about the intensity of practice, you've been critical at times, other times through the years, of the Sabres maybe lacking a certain level of intensity at practice as authored by their head coach. You know, Lindy Ruff does not have that reputation for you know, easy practices. And from what I've read from you today, you got what you expected in this area.
Yeah, and he said he got what he expected. He was very pleased with what he got and with what he saw. But it has driven me insane since I have watched this team. You're in practice. The team goes offside, but that's okay. But it's not okay in a game. So why is it okay to, when you're doing drills, to go offside? And Lindy Ruff stopped it immediately, and they had to you know, sprint back into the zone and do it again. He hates this. I know this before, but he reiterated it again. He hates stupid penalties, lazy stupid penalties. He can't stand them. He sees one in practice, it gets blown dead, because he feels if you're going to do it in practice, then you're going to do it in a game. So those are the types of things. There was a lot of intensity. There was a lot of speed. There was a lot of competing, and that was right off the bat. So, but he did compliment them afterwards. He said he got exactly what he wanted out of the first practice, and he was proud of them for the way they went out there and performed.
Sounds like, you know, Ruff's, again, reputation is well established in the league, and how you've talked about this in this area and the Sabres in the past. And listening to Alex Tuch and Tage Thompson even today, seems like everybody was prepared for this, right? Like, players would not have been surprised, like you weren't, that Ruff was going to come in and, you know, kind of be the heavy.
Yeah, that's what they've said all along that they wanted. They knew Don Granato was gone by the time we talked to him at locker cleanout, and they said they wanted, you know, better practices. They wanted more intense practices. They thought practices at times were too easy, and they maybe weren't mentally into it. And to give you an idea, I thought Granato's practices were night and day from Kruger's practices. Kruger's practices were like a country club. And then, you know, all of a sudden Granato shows up and his team's not in shape. And he sacrificed about the first week and a half, 2 weeks of the season that he was the coach, just putting them through the ringer in practice to try to get them in shape. And it's a, you know, you thought, well, this is much better than Kruger, but Kruger wasn't much. And now the players didn't think that was good enough. They wanted, or at least it slipped, and they wanted better practices, and they're going to get that with Ruff. They want accountability. And I asked Thompson today, I go, look, at you know, you talk about accountability, and I said, you guys are really good friends, and that's great. I mean, you guys hang out together, you go on vacations together, but are you confident that you're going to be okay getting up in the locker room and getting in somebody's face who's one of your best friends and still be best friends when you walk out of that locker room? And he said, absolutely. He said, if we don't do it, we're not going to be winners. He goes, that's what winners do. He goes, they know it's not personal. They know that you're saying something to make them better, and if somebody's saying something to you, they're doing it to make you better. And it's not personal at all. And when it's over and the practice is over, you can, you know, go hang out again and play video games or whatever it is they do. So we'll see how that goes. And day one was fine. We'll see how day two goes.
I mentioned Thompson and Tuch having spoken. What did you get from them that was interesting to you or any other player?
Thompson, and I don't think he was wrong. He just said, you know, yeah, he went through a lot last year, but he said, you know, he has to be better. He has to be. If this team's going to be successful, he feels he has to be better. And in many different areas of the game, and he thought maybe there were times his effort wasn't good enough, and you know, he talked about that, and he said he set a standard for himself a couple of years ago, and last year he felt he didn't even come close to it. He said his compete needs to be better, you know, the other parts of his games needs to be better, and you know, he kind of taking ownership for what went on last year when he dropped from 47 goals to 21 goals. Now, injuries, yeah, they had a part of it. Yeah, he came back a little bit early with a hand injury and couldn't shoot the puck the way he was supposed to. But still, there were times, you know, he said, for example, being around the net. He said for whatever reason, he felt he got some better.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Bad habits and was on the perimeter too much and feels if he's going to score goals again, he needs to be around that net and not be on the perimeter depending on that bullet shot of his, which is a great shot and does score some goals. But, you know, he feels it can't just be that. He talked about the power play where he had over 20 power play goals 2 years ago. That didn't happen last year. For the most part, if you remember a couple years ago, they were in the top three in the league for a lot of the year. They finished up eighth because at the end of the year their power play slumped. But he says it's working hard. It's winning battles and working hard. And he goes, we'll be a much better team because if we can get the power play back to where it was 2 years ago, he goes, it's the same players. So he goes, why can't we? And he goes, but he goes, it's going to take work. He goes, you got to win the battles. He goes, you can't be outworked by the penalty kill. He goes, the penalty kill is usually the four hardest workers on the other team because they're the ones that do the penalty killing. And he goes, you get outworked, you're not going to be successful in the power play. So he felt that right there. If they can start scoring goals in the power play again, how many more points can they have towards getting themselves into the playoffs?
How were you with penalty killing? We've never asked this when you were playing. Were you on the PK?
Killer.
You were?
Yes.
So power play too?
I actually scored a lot of shorthanded goals because of my speed. I could get going and get behind the defense, and if I was behind the defense, they weren't catching me.
Love it.
I was able to actually score quite a few goals shorthanded.
Yesterday,
I wasn't in the power play much.
Okay, that's good though. Yesterday we were talking about Jiří Kulík off of the Prospects Challenge and the whole point again about is there a spot for him and does it have to be in the top six and if it does, is there a spot for him? So it sounded like Benson was the one, if there is that one position next to Cousins and Quinn, was it Benson today?
Mm-hmm. It was. And that's kind of what I had when I put lines together over the summer. If they weren't going to make a trade or if it wasn't a Kulík or somebody like that, that Benson would probably get the first chance at it. He did. But that's the spot right there. I mean, if Kulík has a great training camp and has a great preseason and forces himself in the lineup like Benson did, and Adams reiterated that again. He goes, you know, when given the opportunity, if somebody presses hard and makes them put them in the lineup, he goes, that's when they get put in the lineup. And then you just figure it out. I was a little surprised Malenstein wasn't in the top 12. He was the extra guy. And I was more than a little surprised that it was McLeod on the energy line with Aubé Kubel and Lafferty and not Krebs. Krebs was with Greenway and Zucker.
Still some names here, Paul, that people are going, are they real people? Is this Paul playing? Is this a bit? But we're not used to these guys yet, and it's still summer, but we're going to get there. So is there practice tomorrow? I would assume yes. And will there be any update on Darlene tomorrow necessarily?
We'll ask whether Lindy will tell. Lindy's more stingy on the injury thing than most coaches are. So you get ready. I know that's your favorite part of sports is the injury and how they are – you know, upper body,
secretive.
Lower body, and secretive and the whole thing. Because Lindy probably is worse than any of them are at that. So, but, of course, we'll ask. Maybe Rasmus will be back on the ice. Who knows? But don't forget, they only have three practices in this training camp. And that's it. You practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You play a game on Saturday and Monday. And you leave for Germany on Tuesday. So training camp is 3 days.
I'm not sitting here demanding specifics on this injury, but what we'll probably get next, if he's not on the ice, is whether this is going to be day-to-day, week-to-week, or month-to-month. That'll be, you know, it won't be specific unless you disagree with this. That a general timeline for expectations will be the next, you know, news.
Yeah. And, you know, and Lindy's rather cagey with his goaltenders, too. Now, when you had Dominic Hasek and you're trying to figure out, is it Dominic Hasek or Rolison, on the odd game that Rolison or Marty was going to go in, all right, I get it. They're totally different goaltenders, and the other team has to come to prepare totally different. Yeah, Lukanen and Levi are different goaltenders, but I don't think the other team really cares one way or the other, you know, when it comes to that. I ask him about that. If Lukanen's going to play, he played 54 games last year, and if he's going to do that again or approach 60, don't you got to get Levi to Rochester or someplace where he's going to be playing? And, you know, he kind of answered it. He talked about how you have to have two goaltenders, and in this day and age of hockey, and he did in Jersey, but he didn't have the guy he could really ride in New Jersey. And after he left Buffalo with Hasek and Miller, he had Kari Lehtinen in Dallas, where he rode him 59, 59, and 62 games. But if that's what Lukanen gets up to, you can't have Levi here. He's got to play. He's 22 years old. He's got to play. So they really don't know what they're going to do yet, other than he said in this day and age, you got to have two goaltenders. But I think, too, if one goaltender gets hot and gets rolling, Lindy Ruff's going to ride him.
And they'll probably each play one of the games in Europe, no matter, you know, whether it's Levi, I guess, or
yeah.
Reimer. But.
And you'll have three goalies there in Europe because you can take 27 players. Your roster still needs to be 23. And you got to have a third goalie there, because what if you play the first game and he gets hurt? You don't have time to get the other goalie there. So you know, all three of them will be there. He got asked if he might have three goalies during the season, and then he reiterated how that's not ideal. He didn't close the door on it. He goes, I suppose it's possible. He can't. It does not work. He can't. It was shown last year it doesn't work. Make a decision. And once you get back from Europe, you make a decision. As far as I'm concerned, you cannot fill one of the roster spots with three goaltenders. You just can't.
Bisons tonight, Paul. Did you stay 11 innings last night? Did you stay to the end?
I stayed until Wilkes-Barre had the big 12th inning where they scored six runs, was it? Yeah, they turned a 4-4 game into a 10-4 game. So I actually saw the last home run. I was actually walking to my car.
Yes.
I could see one of the Bisons through the fence move, and then I looked up, and I saw the ball. That's all I saw was the ball headed towards the scoreboard, and then I could see it land on the grass. So it was kind of a weird angle to see a home run.
Mm-hmm.
The Bisons got one in the bottom of the 12th, and they lost 10-5. So they get the rematch. It was interesting because, as you know, I'm a Yankee fan, and
really?
I don't root for Scranton Wilkes-Barre, but Ben Rice, of course, was with the Yankees quite a bit this year, and his first at bat, he hit a bomb out of here. So it was interesting to see a guy that I've seen quite a bit this year.
You might have cracked a smile. We won't discuss it. Thank you, Paul. Enjoy tonight.
Thank you. Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline, the Bisons game coming up downtown. I've never really thought about that, I guess. If you are sort of a serious fan of a major league team, do you also root for their farm team? I mean, you could. I think I probably cared about the Tides when I was a Met fan. I probably cared, you know, just sort of more in the terms of the players than their place in the standings. I would have rooted for the Bisons growing up here, and they wouldn't always have played, but yeah, I like that, though. If you are a serious fan of a major league team, do you also, does that extend to AAA? Does it all go all the way down? Like, just root for all those teams? Maybe. There probably are people who get into it like that. Sal will join me at 5. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.